And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, February 26, 2015 News Roundup from the Occupied Palestinian Territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Badmura.
You're listening to the KABU Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ethan Martin, Paul Rowland, Robin Ryan, Molly Campbell, Eric Takeoff, and Doug McVeigh. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer, keeping all of this running smoothly, is Matthew Olson. The KABU Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Yanko Solderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KABU News. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Sari Gametha. Coming up tomorrow morning on KABU, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Ani and Lynn host Positively Revolting, a variety of topics from an eco-feminist and anarcho-feminist perspective. At 9, One Land, Many Voices presents excerpts from Occupation, Environmental Destruction, and the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. A panel discussion on international resistance is held this week in Portland. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints, investigative news radio. And at 11, on the Radio Zine, host Jimmy Tardy talks with Daryl Davis, a world-class musician and owner of a closet full of Klan hoods and robes that were bequeathed to him when their previous owners decided to renounce the Klan. Thank you, KABU members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for KABU News In Depth. Good night, Robert.
Good night, Sarga.
Good night, Matthew.
Good night, Matthew.
Good night.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
And good evening. This is Paul Rowland with this evening's News In Depth. We have a very special opportunity to hear directly from Chicago what's going on with this breaking news story about these so-called police black sites in Chicago, a story that was broken by the Guardian newspaper in the UK, and also Democracy Now! Is covered the last 2 days, this morning in depth. And we have Flint Taylor with the People's Law Office in Chicago, who's been directly involved in dealing with police abuse cases for decades. Hello, Flint, are you with us?
I am, thank you.
So yeah, let's dispense with all the preliminaries. We did have you on a few weeks ago talking about police unions on a panel discussion, and we can talk a little bit about your experience, but we only have 15 minutes. So is there any surprise with this story that broke? You must did you know about this site?
Well, my partner, Sarah Gelsomino, did. She represented one of the three NATO demonstrators who was arrested on bogus terrorism charges. And they took him to this spot. In fact, they took all nine of the people they originally arrested on around the NATO demonstrations 2 years ago to this spot. She spent 17 hours looking for him fruitlessly until finally she got a city official to tell her that he was at this location. And so we did have some knowledge that it existed, and criminal defense lawyers who go to police stations all the time to their volunteer lawyers who go to assist defendants and suspects and witnesses who are taken into custody, they found out about this as well, but it never really reached the media in any meaningful way until Spencer Ackerman at the Guardian did some real gumshoeing around and found a series, put all of this together, in other words, and found some people who'd been kept there, and interviewed one of them who had been kept there, and he told of his experiences, and it's kind of mushrooming at this point.
And there's so many dimensions to this. Also, it comes out at the time the former police commander, John Burge, has been released, and you are very involved in cases arising from his overseeing or involvement in cases of torture and abuse, long series of cases over the years in Chicago. There's also the aspect of Detective Richard Zulli, who has apparently a connection between Chicago and the Guantanamo torture and interrogation. It comes in the middle of a very hotly contested mayoral race in Chicago. So let's try to unpack a bunch of this stuff. First of all, let's talk about John Burge, who is just released apparently from prison.
Well, the way it connects to this Holman Square, which is the spot that they took people to, or they still do take people to, off the books and don't book them and hold them and interrogate them, is kind of a centralized way of what they would do back in the day when Burge was torturing people with electric shock and dry submarino and other forms of torture. And what they would do back then would be they would arrest the person and tell them they were taking them to one place, one police station, but they'd really take them to another one so that the family and lawyers couldn't find them. And then they would end up back with Burge, and he'd torture them into giving confessions before the family or the lawyers could find out where that person was. So now what happens is that they take many of these people to this one centralized place when they want to interrogate them, and they don't want families and friends to find them until they've finished with their interrogation. Now, we don't have evidence that they're torturing people at this site, but we do have evidence that they're violating constitutional rights by not allowing you to have contact with a lawyer or a family member, and they are shackling people and holding them for long periods of time and interrogating them. So it's close to torture, sensory deprivation, but it's not the kind of torture so far that we've heard under Burge that happened in the 70s through the early 90s. But it's still, there's some gross violations of constitutional rights going on there. And the idea that you can take somebody to a site other than the local police station to arrest them and book them and charge them is antithetical to the idea of the Sixth Amendment right to counsel and the Fifth Amendment right not to be coerced into giving evidence against yourself. Yes, there definitely are connections between then and now with regard to that. And then you mentioned also the Guantanamo piece, which there's another detective who apparently learned his trade in Chicago in terms of setting up wrongful convictions by getting confessions that were coerced. And he ended up in Guantanamo, and we all know what kind of tactics were used and continue to be used down there. So, yeah, Chicago is quite a hotbed right now and has been for decades for police misconduct, which is a euphemism for, brutality and often in the past torture.
And again, your involvement in this goes back decades as well. You were involved in the case of the murder of Fred Hampton. Back in the 60s, you actually won a case on behalf of the heirs of both Hampton and Mark Clark. And so you've basically been fighting the Chicago Police Department since then, I guess. Is that true?
Yeah, well, that is true. Our office, People's Law Office, started out in 1969, and it was the same year that Fred Hampton was a very charismatic, up-and-coming Black Panther leader at that time, was murdered in his bed along with another Black Panther, and several were shot up. And we were involved for 13 years in unpacking the truth about that case, which not only showed that it was a police raid that was designed to murder Hampton, and that 90 bullet holes were fired into a small apartment, but that not only was the police involved and not only was the district attorney involved, but it turns out secretly the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover's counterintelligence program, the program that was designed at first to get Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Stokely Carmichael, and later was designed to destroy the Black Panther Party. It turns out that that program was behind, secretly behind, the murders of Hampton and Clark. And it took 13 years, but myself and my partners and the law students and legal workers, including a very well-known Portland lawyer, he moved out to Portland, a wonderful friend of mine named Jackson Welch, were involved in not only in the early stages, Jack was, but we carried it on for 13 years.
Well, you know, I'd like to kind of follow up on that and ask you, you know, the Portland City Council was deliberating whether to fully join the Joint Terrorism Task Force. There were some issues that had been kind of in and out for a number of years, and they just yesterday voted to fully join the Joint Terrorism Task Force, but we don't really have much time, so I'd like to skip that for now, and maybe we can talk about that another time. So Amnesty International has called for Rahm Emanuel to investigate. As I said, this comes in the middle of a hotly contested mayoral election where, to the surprise of many, Emanuel didn't win on the first ballot. There's going to be a runoff with his second place. I don't know if the runner-up, I can't remember his name, if he has made any statements.
Yeah, it's Chuy Garcia, and he's a progressive politician here. He worked in the Harold Washington, the very progressive African-American mayor that we had here a couple of decades ago, all too briefly. He worked in his administration. He's supported by the Chicago Teachers Union, which was very strongly basically defeated Rahm Emanuel in a fight for in a strike here a couple of years ago, which totally alienated the Black community from Rahm Emanuel. Yes, it's a very important race. There's also another very important progressive issue on the table. It's connected to Burge, and that is we're fighting for a reparations ordinance, an ordinance that would bring compensation to the men who were tortured by Burge. And Garcia supports that ordinance, but Emanuel has been sitting on the fence around it, much to the consternation of the African American community and all of the activists that have been fighting for this reparations ordinance.
So we're about
some, yes, this police issue will obviously be on the table as well. Many politicians have already come out and called for an investigation to find out really what's at the bottom of this. That we don't know a whole lot about this place. We know that, you know, that one person died there, it turns out. Another person, at least another, one other person was beaten. A lot of interrogations are going on over there. And they've kept it as secret as possible, even though some lawyers and others did know about it in some manner or form. But the question is, what is this place really about? How does it fit in to the framework of police brutality and you know, the justice or injustice system as we know it here in Chicago?
Well, it seems the whole issue of police impunity, and they seem to have been given carte blanche. This started, you know, post 9/11. And, you know, there's a connection again with this Detective Richard Zulli. We didn't get a chance to talk much about him and Guantanamo. I mean, do you see any kind of end to this culture of impunity and basically police having carte blanche, extra powers after 9/11?
Well, we just have to, you know, the people have to speak. I mean, if we can vote out Rahm Emanuel, if we can, you know, keep raising these issues, and I mean, you had some very good people on last time when we did the panel who are involved deeply in community activism and fighting against police impunity, and I think we need to fight for transparency and continue to do that in the face of this this tide of police impunity that seems to be, as you said, bolstered by 9/11 and bolstered by all of these secret sites around the world and the torture that goes on around the world in the name of the United States. But we can't, you know, be silent to it, and hopefully we can turn the tide piece by piece.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much. This has been a great opportunity with this breaking news story to get a voice directly from Chicago, Flint Taylor, with the People's Law Office. And is there a place in particular people can go to more information that you have?
Yes, definitely. You of course, you talked about the Guardian articles. They just keep coming. The investigative reporter keeps finding more out each day. And we have a little website, the People's Law Office, P-E-O-P-L-E-S, lawoffice.com. And we have a lot of historical and current information, articles, research we've done, work that we've done on torture, on the Fred Hampton case. If you want to learn more about what I spoke about tonight, that's the place to go. It's a very good place.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We're plumb out of time. Thank you so much, Flint Taylor, People's Law Office of Chicago. This is Paul Rowland with KBOO News in Depth. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Next up is Rose City Native.
KBOO is a proud sponsor with Runaway Productions of Northwest Hip Hop Fest 4, February 27, 2015 at the Hawthorne Theater, 1507 Southeast 39th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. Bad Habitat, Tope, Speaker Minds, Mike Crenshaw, Kinetic MCs, Glenn Waco, Pell